I didn't realize, you know, time goes by quickly when you're having fun. I'm having fun. And yeah, I am. Oh, you're not laughing at that. Thank you. I'm even having more fun now. I'm having fun, and I preached a series a while back, and I'll tell you, I didn't know how long ago it was back until I looked in my file. It was 8 years ago. That's how quick time is flying. And I preached a series that maybe should be dusted off. It was called The Common Sense Tour. Because I understood that in today's age, I meet a lot of people, but I don't meet a lot of people with common sense. I meet a lot of people who don't have common sense. I don't even think they're teaching that in the curriculum in our schools today, common sense. So I did this common sense tour, and I realized the message for this morning needed to be added to that series. So I had 10 messages. This is now message number 11 in the Common Sense Tour. And every Sunday when I did that, I don't know if anybody will remember this, because this is how the series started every morning for the Common Sense Tour. Let's hit it. Yeah. Ooh, that was me. Loud. How to pick a president. I had that cool surfer van that would cruise in, you know, because I realized, hey, you know, we got to be, being a person who has common sense needs to become cool again. So that was the kind of van that I would cruise around in when I was cool. Oh, thank you. I love these guys in the front row. You're not raising your rate, are you? Yeah, because I pay them every Sunday to... So open up your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. And I'm going to bounce around a lot in Proverbs. You can try to follow me along, but you have the notes to kind of keep you in line with what we're sharing. This is how I did the Common Sense Tour. The book of Proverbs was written by, most of the books in Proverbs were written by King Solomon, who was the wisest man who ever lived. And it's filled with wisdom. It's not a book that has continuous thought. It's a book that has many thoughts that are just go in and out and weave in and out. Some continuous thought here, but then a little snippet there, a little snippet there, and a little snippet there. Here's what I realized about the book of Proverbs. Jerry Lippert, who was one of the founding members here at this church, when we had zero people, he was the number one person, Jerry Lippert, who's now with the Lord Jesus Christ. He would always say, read the book, a book of Proverbs every day, and God will give you wisdom. I thought about that, and I thought, well, you know, if I want to know how to pick a president, I should read the book of Proverbs. And so in the Common Sense Tour, what I would do is I would take a topic on anger, a topic on work ethic, and we had a whole list of common sense topics. And what I would do is sit down in an unhurried way, and I encourage you, I'm going through this so that you can try it. It's really cool. And you have something you want wisdom about, sit down with your Bible when you're not in a hurry and open it up and read from Proverbs 1 all the way through Proverbs 31. Now, the neat thing about reading it with an electronic Bible in your iPad or on your phone or something or on your computer is that I could then copy and paste every verse that I wanted that spoke to me in that topic. So I would then take the verses. The old way is I would write them down, and then I would go and copy of them. Then I'd put them on a Word file, then I would sort them, and then I would read them, and then I'd pray over them, and I'd try to find common threads of wisdom that would break them into categories. So that's exactly what I did here. I thought, well, there's no verse that really tells me this is how I should vote for a president. So I went back to the book of Proverbs. I opened it up. I read through all 31 chapters from verse 1 of chapter 1 through the last verse of chapter 31. And every time a verse spoke to me about the theme of a leader or a ruler, I would highlight it, copy it, and put it in a Word file. When that was done, I had a lot of verses, folks. And so I began to pray over those verses and read over those. And I began to say, Lord, what are these verses talking about? And when I found a theme, I would put the theme up there. And then I would read the next verse. Is that a new theme or is that a repeat of the current theme? And as I went through, I was amazed. I didn't try to make this happen, but I ended up with 10 things. I love it when I get 10 things because then I can do a top 10. Yeah. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. Is that we're going to look through the top 10 things that we see about how to vote for president. But before we do that, I want to read this opening verse. Why is Proverbs so important? So look at the screen with me here. This is in your notes. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He's reserved priceless wisdom for decent people. He is a shield for those who walk in integrity in order to guard those on paths of justice and to watch over the way of the godly ones. Then it says, you will understand what is right and just and fair. Every good course in life, wisdom will come into your heart. Knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Foresight will protect you. Understanding will guard you. I don't know about you, but I know in today's economy that we live in, I'm not talking about financial economy, I'm talking about emotional economy and moral economy and spiritual economy. We need wisdom, we need knowledge, we need foresight, and we need understanding. And so we're going to look at that together. Top 10 biblical qualities to look for in your choice for a president, the top 10. Now, let me tell you the one thing that surprised me. Not one of them had to do with the economy. So can I just coin a phrase? It's not the economy, stupid. It's not. And here's the trap that we've fallen into so many times as believers is we voted the economy. We've heard it's about the economy. We voted, we think somehow if someone can create jobs, our nation's going to be okay. I want to tell you that is not what the Word of God says. So the first thing we don't do is we don't try to vote for a president just because we think he can make jobs better than the next guy. Hang on for the big reveal at the end. Number one. What does the book of Proverbs say? The first thing we need to look for is a candidate that fears God, honors his word, and seeks his wisdom. Now, I'm going to read these to you. You don't need to turn to these, but I encourage you to read these on your own. Proverbs 8, 13 to 17. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance in the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Listen to this. By me, what? By the wisdom of God. By me, kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles rule and all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me and those who seek me diligently will find me. The only way that we can have righteousness in our land, the only way that America can get back on track is if it has leaders who honor God and fear God, honor his word and seek his wisdom. Proverbs 20:28 says, mercy and truth preserve the king. Mercy and truth preserve the king, and by loving kindness he upholds his throne. And Proverbs 25:2-3 says, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to search out a matter. Now, we don't have a president in the Bible, but we had kings. And for us, the president is equivalent to the king in the Bible. So when we read about kings, we can insert president there for us. And it says that it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it is the glory of kings to search out a matter. We need men and women in office, not just president, but in office, who will seek God, honor his word, and fear the Lord. God can take someone who doesn't know a lot about something and teach them real quick if they fear him, honor his word, and seek his wisdom. That's what we need, number one. Number two, we need to pick a candidate that supports biblical principles of righteousness. Proverbs 11:10-11 does not say when the economy is good, the city rejoices. My dad lived during the Great Depression, and the economy wasn't good. But his family still rejoiced. This is what the verse says. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there is jubilation. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. But it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. When we have people in office that do not honor the biblical principles of righteousness, we're in trouble. Proverbs 14:34-35 says, righteousness is that which exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him who causes shame. That's in the context of righteousness. We need leaders who will affirm and elevate and appoint people who are like-minded in honoring principles of righteousness. That used to be true about our land. If you study our founding fathers at all, you will see that even those that they claim to be deists, and there's debate about that, honored the principles of biblical righteousness. In fact, democracy was plagued or predicted to fail if it did not have a moral society on which it was founded. Proverbs 29:12, if a ruler pays attention to lies, all his servants become wicked. If you've got someone in office who doesn't honor biblical principles of righteousness, watch out. The floodgates just opened and we're going to hell in a handbasket. I never really understood that phrase, but it sounds kind of dramatic. I can just picture someone holding, sitting in the handbasket going, ah, you know. I don't know. Someone enlighten me after service. Proverbs 31:3-5. Do not give your strength to women nor your ways to that which destroys kings. Now, we've had people in office who have been immoral. Brothers and sisters, we need people not that are perfect, but people that are moral and uphold standards of biblical morality. How many can remember when we had a president in office that didn't do that? And the shame it brought on our nation. And the bad example it brought to our kids. I don't want to say to my son or daughter, yeah, this is the example to follow. I want someone that we can emulate. Number three, this is really critical. Pick a candidate who respects the sanctity of human life. None of these are necessarily in 1 through 10, like one's more important than two, two's more important than three. These are just the thoughts from these verses in Proverbs. But to me, this one is way up the top. Proverbs 21:1-3 says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord like the rivers of water. He turns it wherever he wishes. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than to give sacrifice. And then it says in Proverbs 28:15-16, like a roaring lion and a charging bear is a wicked ruler over poor people. Let me read that again. Like a roaring lion and a charging bear is a wicked ruler over poor people. A ruler who lacks understanding is a great oppressor. But he who hates covetousness will prolong his days. In Proverbs 29:7, the righteous considers the cause of the poor. The wicked does not understand such knowledge. Proverbs 29:14, the king who judges the poor with truth, his throne will be established forever. And listen to this, Proverbs 31:8-9, open your mouth for the speechless in the case of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Who is the speechless? An unborn child cannot cry out on its behalf. A king is called to stand up for the speechless, for the poor, for the disenfranchised, for those, even the extreme elderly or the handicapped. There is a big move toward embracing euthanasia as if it was something acceptable and okay. As if somewhere along the line, we as humans have the ability to determine when a life is worth saving and when a life is not worth saving. And we neglect to understand that God works His grace through everyone's life, even right up to the moment that they breathe their last breath. And life is sacred, it's holy, it's a gift from God, and no man has the right to determine when it ends. Just as no man determines when it begins. It's all the hand of God. Number four. Pick a candidate that is more interested in pleasing God than in being elected. Now, this is a really important one. Proverbs 16, verse 7 says, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him." Now, let me give just a little caveat here. There has been no president in the United States history that has been perfect, nor will there ever be a president who is perfect. There is no candidate running for president today that matches all of these things. There is not one person sitting here today that matches all of these things. Yet to affirm these things and to match them are two different things. To believe in them and to aspire towards them and to uphold them as the way of the Lord is the thing that we're talking about. And when we're talking about someone who's willing to please God more than man, and it makes even his enemies to be at peace with him, if you're old enough or you studied in history and you remember Ronald Reagan, I remember him because I'm old enough. And I remember him when he was president. And I remember when people said he was crazy for calling Russia the enemy, for standing strong against Russia, and yet it was the very Russia, the very Soviet Union that was rattling its sabers against this man who desired more to please God, I believe, than just please men, because he didn't try to do what was popular. It was that same person that caused Gorbachev and others to come over to try to talk with him. And because of his rule and because of the Pope's involvement, if you study history, the wall came tumbling down in the Soviet Union. You see, our enemies actually came to peace because we had a ruler who was more interested about doing what was right than about being elected. That's a real practical principle, isn't it? Proverbs 22:11, "He who loves purity of heart and has grace on his lips, the king will be his friend." You see, he's more interested about what's right than about what's popular. Number five. Are any of these any good, you think? Pick a candidate that surrounds themselves with wise counselors. Proverbs 11:14. "Where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Plans are established by counsel," Proverbs 20:18. "By wise counsel, wage war." We need someone who's going to surround himself with wise counsel, or herself with wise counsel. I'm open, man. Him or her, someone who's godly. Proverbs 22:29. "Do you see a man who excels in his work? He shall stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men." We need a president who will surround themselves with people who are like-minded, godly, God-fearing, honoring people who support righteousness, who they know they're going to receive counsel, not for what they want someone to tell them, "Yes, sir," or "Yes, ma'am," but they'll say, "That is wrong," and stand up and challenge them in love and be really a person who will give them sound advice. If you just want a yes, ma'am, or a yes, sir, then you're never going to lead properly. Proverbs 22:29. Oh, I already said that. 24:6. "By wise counsel you will wage your own war. In a multitude of counselors are safe." Young people, let me tell you this, because when you're young, you don't think you need counselors. And I didn't when I was young. You know, I was going to do it. I knew what was best for me when I was 16. When I was 17, I moved out of my house because I knew that much. When I was 17 and a half, I moved back. Because I knew that much. Thank you. Listen, you have lived a short time, all you young people. And you haven't walked the road that your parents have or other godly men and women that are in your lives have. How much heartache you can save. How much encouragement you can receive by placing wise counselors around your life and letting them speak into it. Number six. This one is something I just don't understand it, that believers don't talk about this very much. And this is something so critical, so crucial. In fact, in this election, more than anything else, this is one of the pivotal points that will happen in this election that will change the course of this nation, either for the better or for the worse. Number six, pick a candidate that will appoint judges who will judge righteously. Proverbs 16, 10 to 15. When a divine revelation is on the king's lips, he cannot voice a wrong judgment. Honest balances and scales belong to the Lord. He's made the entire set of weights. Wrongdoing is disgusting to kings because a throne is established through righteousness. Kings are happy with honest words. Whoever speaks what is right is loved. A king's anger announces death, but a wise man makes peace with him. When the king is cheerful, there is life, and his favor is like a cloud bringing spring rain. Let me tell you, there's no spring rain when we have judges who legislate morality based on their own feelings, not upon the righteous principles of God's word. Or do not uphold the Constitution by which they're sworn to uphold. Proverbs 17, 15, he who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just, both of them are like an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 18, 5, it is not good to show partiality to the wicked or to overthrow the righteous in judgment. Pick a candidate that will appoint judges who will judge righteously. Whoever is elected president this term will probably nominate three Supreme Court justices to replace three people who can barely stand up. And they're just staying in office hoping that there will be another president who will appoint bad judges. Number seven, pick a candidate that will swiftly execute justice against the wicked. We live in a day when evil is called good and good's called evil, when someone is picked up and prosecuted and then he gets off on technicalities. We don't execute justice in this land anymore. I believe in due process and I believe a person is innocent until proven guilty, but when somebody is guilty, if we just don't do anything, it causes problems. Proverbs 20, 26 says, a wise king sifts out the wicked and brings the threshing wheel over them. Proverbs 24, 23 to 25. These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to show partiality in judgment. He who says to the wicked, you are righteous. Him the people will curse. Nations will abhor him. But those who rebuke the wicked will have delight, and a good blessing will come upon them. And Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11 says this, when a sentence against a crime isn't carried out quickly, people are encouraged to commit crimes. Listen, this is God's word. This isn't Kirk. This is the word of God. This is what we need to listen to. God speaks, and we must listen. Number eight. Pick a candidate that commands and deserves respect. When I grew up as a young boy, I grew up to respect that symbol, and I grew up to respect that office. There's not a lot of respect anymore for our government officials, let alone the office of the president. And we need to pick a candidate that will both command and deserve our respect. Proverbs 14:28 says, "In a multitude of people is a king's honor, but in the lack of people is the downfall of a prince." Proverbs 28, verse 2 says, "When a country is in revolt, it has many rulers, but only with a person who has understanding and knowledge will it last a long time." Proverbs 28:12, "When the righteous rejoice, there is great glory, but when the wicked arise, men hide themselves." Listen to this one. Proverbs 30:29-31. "There are three things that are majestic in pace, yes, four which are stately in walk: a lion, which is mighty among beasts and does not turn away from any; a greyhound; a male goat also," "and listen, a king whose troops are with him." We need a commander-in-chief who will command and deserve the respect of our troops. Our military, the VA scandals, all the things that have happened in our nation over the years, it is just heartbreaking. Heartbreaking. The morale of being overseas in harm's way and wondering whether you can depend on the person who is your commander-in-chief, heartbreaking. And I'm not just talking about this president, I'm talking about presidents in the past. We've had bad commanders-in-chief who did not command or deserve respect. We need a commander-in-chief again who commands and deserves respect. You know, one of the ways you can find out if it's a good man or a good woman for the office: look at their husband or their wife. Proverbs 31 was a proverb written by King Lemuel's mother to King Lemuel. And King Lemuel's mother said this. He says, "Listen, I love it. If you find a virtuous wife, you found a good thing." And when you look at the wife or the husband of the person running for office, they also need to be a virtuous character. Not perfect, but one who upholds and supports the things that are right. Number 9, two more. Pick a candidate who will lead from a position of strength. Proverbs 19:12 says, "The king's wrath is like a roaring lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass." Proverbs 20, verse 2, "The wrath of a king is like a roaring lion." I thought, it just said it over and over again. "Whoever provokes him to anger sins against his own life." Proverbs 20, verse 8, "A king who sits on the throne of judgment scatters all evil with his eyes." Just the look shows strength. And then Proverbs 30:21-23, "For three things the earth is perturbed, for four it cannot bear up. And the first one is for a servant when he reigns." You see, when there's no strength in a leader, the people lose resolve and faith and confidence. So it needs to be one who leads from a position of strength. And finally, we need to pick a candidate who models integrity and resolve. Proverbs 24:21-22 says, "My son, fear the Lord and the king. Do not associate with those given to change, for their calamity will rise suddenly, and who knows the ruin those two can bring." When people just change with the blowing of the wind, when I've heard some candidates speak, I'm not going to mention any names, but they put their finger up in the wind. They say, "Who am I speaking to?" And they say what that crowd wants to hear. Then they go to the next crowd. They put their finger up in the wind and they say what that crowd wants to hear. They're given to change. And you wonder, does anything they say really mean or merit anything? Be really discerning, brothers and sisters. Listen, this is important stuff. You can't just listen to a stump speech and say, "That's my man, that's my woman." You got to go beneath the veneer. Proverbs 24:4-5 says, "Take away the dross from the silver, and it will go to the silversmith for jewelry. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne will be established in righteousness." So we need someone with integrity and resolve. And finally, Proverbs 29:4, "The king establishes the land by justice, but whoever receives bribes, overthrow it. We need to look at where the person running for office is getting their money, who they've aligned themselves with, who's influencing their campaign. These are all biblical principles. They're very practical. Worship team, come back up. We're going to close. Okay, so now, I'm going to reveal to you the big reveal. Who am I going to vote for president? I'm going to vote for the person, Lincoln, yeah. I'm going to vote for the person who most clearly matches these qualities in my discernment and in my life. As I look upon the candidates, as I listen to what they say, as I look at their platform, I'm going to apply these principles, and the person who I feel most close, no one's going to be perfect across those 10 points. I'm not perfect across those 10 points, for goodness sakes. But I'm going to try to pick the person who most clearly mirrors that. And I'm not going to tell you who that is, because I'm going to be honest with you, I still don't know. I know, sorry, James. But I want to be a discerning voter this time. I don't want to vote my pocketbook. I don't want to vote the promises that are uttered. Listen, I don't want another promise of hope and change to get the kind of change that we don't need and the kind of hope that sucks it out of me. I want to vote for someone who's going to uphold our Constitution, who's going to believe in the principles of righteousness, who's going to defend the weak, who's going to stand up for the poor. I want to vote for someone who will bring respect back into the office, into this nation and land, and will not persecute Christians or anyone of any faith, but will encourage all people to worship as they see fit in our land. That's our freedoms. Religious liberty is on the line, folks. Your children's education is on the line. Your future's on the line. And it's not about the economy. I don't care if the next person creates 300 million new jobs. That would cover everybody, wouldn't it? You know, the wisest thing I ever heard was someone who said, just take the money from the Powerball, divide it into 300 million and give everybody the piece and we're done. We're, you know? Everybody gets a big piece. You know, just... it's crazy in our land what we're facing. We need people of discernment. We need Christians who will pray. We need Christians who will look to the Word of God for guidance. Vote for the person, male or female, who meets these biblical criteria, and you will vote for the right person. Let's stand.
Some of my desires and the fullness of my joy. Like you spilled your blood, I spill my heart as an offering to my King. Here I am, take me as an offering. Here I am.
Hallelujah. How does that song apply to the message this morning? Mary Magdalene, who was delivered by the Lord, came into a meeting with the disciples, and she walked up to the feet of Jesus, and she washed them with her tears, she dried them with her hair, and she poured out a very costly bottle of ointment, no doubt that she had acquired in her previous life of sin. And Judas, of course, was looking only at the financial aspect of it and said, what a waste. We could have sold that and given it to the poor. And you know that wasn't the real motive in his heart. And all the other disciples who were there were still hoping and waiting for this ruler that was going to overcome the Roman Empire, and they missed it. And only one person understood that it was a spiritual moment, that Jesus was heading to the cross to die, and that the only victory is through this cross. And he said, she is the only one who is anointing me for my burial. She was the only one who got it, even out of all the disciples. Dear ones, let's get it. The Bible doesn't say if my people who are called by my name will rally around the economy, will rally around this principle and that principle. It says if they will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear their prayer and I will heal their land. Lord, give us that type of heart. Give us that type of understanding, we pray. Father, we come now to close and to ask you to speak to our hearts. We pray over this nation and we ask you for mercy. We pray over the church and we ask you for an awakening and a quickening by your Holy Spirit. We pray that you would extend wisdom and discernment in these uncertain days to those who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to not just think with what they find on a Twitter feed or a Facebook page or an Instagram post, but to think with clear, discerning minds and hearts as they look into the living and abiding Word of God. I pray that we would truly turn to you and come to you on bended knee and ask you to work in our lives a place of renewal and cleansing. We pray for a renewal to be poured out upon this land where hearts would turn to Jesus, families would turn toward you, that you would heal marriages and strengthen children. We pray for resolve in our young people to be those who stand up for truth rather than those who run along with the crowd. And we pray for a heart of compassion and love, forgiveness, and mercy extended towards those who position themselves as enemies of the gospel and enemies of righteousness and enemies of our faith, that we would pray for them. And that we would pray the goodness of God would be poured upon them in such a way that they'd be led to repentance. That we would not retaliate in like kind, but that we would retaliate with love, for love covers a multitude of sins. And as we go from this place, let us go just with a sense of truth that we didn't come in with. With a sense of discernment that's deeper than before. And we ask that in Jesus' name. If there's altar prayer team members here, I'll invite you to come forward at this time. And as we dismiss, if you need prayer or ministry, or you need to know Jesus, or there's anything you need prayer for, just come forward as we dismiss. Receive the blessing of the Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Go in the love of the Lord. God bless you. Have a good day. And may your Super Bowl team win.